Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribe and follow the podcast. First, our YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. All right, so Phillies last night, not a great start to the series in Minnesota. They drop it 7-2. I thought Ranger was better last night. I thought he looked closer to his, you know, his good self than what we saw the last, you know, four or five starts before the All-Star break. But what struck me last night and what's striking all of us is the offense and how dull it's been for the most part for a while now. And they get JT back and they're closer to whole now. And you would think there'd be an uptick soon. But the Phillies have some issues. And they particularly need a platoon bat to put in the outfield to pair with Brandon Marsh. So Marsh didn't play last night because of a sore elbow. He'll usually play against righties. They need a right-handed bat to put in that outfield to play against left-handed pitching. I mean, they need it, and they need it badly. So let's dive into – and by the way, last night they had one hit after the first inning, and that was the first batter of the second inning. After Bryce Stott singled last night in the top of the second inning, the Phillies didn't have a hit the rest of the game. That was the offense last night. Obviously, not good enough. All right, let's look at five options for the Phillies, for Dave Dombrowski, if the goal of the trade deadline is to acquire a bat that could platoon with Brandon Marsh. And I do believe the Phillies are after that kind of player. They should be after that kind of player. So I've got five names. Five names that could fit that role, the one that, let's say, Whit Merrifield was supposed to fill. By the way, Whit Merrifield, a Brave now, got signed, then he got injured during like the batting practice yesterday, so we'll see what's going on with Whit. But he's an Atlanta Brave. The Phillies need to kind of replicate that idea, what they tried to build, what they tried to do in the offseason. They need to do it. All right, five names for you, five options, all fit the bill of a right-handed platoon bat in the outfield. Let's start with the number one, and this isn't any particular, just on my list, Kevin Pillar, vet. He's been around a long time, Kevin Pillar, and he's really made a living in Major League Baseball hitting left-handed pitching, and he's doing it again. If you go look at the leaderboard for right-handed outfielders against left-handed pitching, like what they've done this season against lefties, and you know, you kind of qualify guys that have at least 40 or 50 plate appearances against lefties, you know, enough to generate some sort of sample. Kevin Pillar is right near the top. I mean, you get your best players, your Aaron Judges of the world, or they're going to be number one on these lists. But Kevin Pillar is near the top. Kevin Pillar is the third best weighted runs created plus against left-handed pitching among right-handed bats. 371 average against lefties this season. He's with the Angels right now. They signed him when Mike Trout went down. He's still playing the outfield. He's played left. He's played center. He's played right this year, so you can plug him in anywhere. He's got postseason experience. He was a pretty big part of that Mets team a couple years ago that won 100 games. So he's, you know, recently been on a productive and winning team. And he obviously loves the game. I mean, you know, he's at the age now where he's got to keep fighting for roster spots or fighting to make teams. Or when someone gets hurt, he gets that call. And I think there's something to that. He loves the game. He loves baseball. And he's always found his way into this exact role. Like, he's lived this role for a long time. It's not like taking an everyday player and saying, well, you're just good at this, we're only going to play you. You know, a couple guys on this list are everyday players for their teams right now, but they're obviously particularly good against lefties, not as good against righties, and here they would settle more into a platoon role. And that could work, but that's also an adjustment for those guys not playing every day any longer. For Kevin Pillar, he's very used to, and you know, he's played a lot recently because the injury and the bad team in Los Angeles, but he's used to this kind of role. Kevin Pillar, Los Angeles Angels. Number two on my list, a guy we've talked about a little bit over the past couple years. I remember doing an episode last year before the trade deadline about this guy, and that's Lane Thomas, outfielder for the Washington Nationals. I think he's very available. The Nationals strike me as a team that are ready to turn the page to their next era, and Lane Thomas is kind of part of this in-between. He's not really, and the Phillies had a lot of these guys, you know, four, five, six, 7 years ago, like the Michael Francos of the world, Cesar Hernandezes of the world, that were solid, you know, decent baseball players, but they weren't going to be part of the next real contender with the Phillies, just the timeline and the way it was going to work out and their skill level. And that's Lane Thomas. I mean, they have James Wood up now, who they got in the deal for Juan Soto. They have Dylan Cruz making his way through the minor leagues. He was the number two pick in last year's draft. They have Abrams in the majors and also. They have Mackenzie Gore. The Nationals trying to turn a corner here, and I think cashing in Lane Thomas is an interesting play. Now, he's an everyday player, but this year he has been a guy that has not hit righties, and it's dragged his numbers in totality down, but he has crushed left-handed pitching. Lane Thomas this year, .329 batting average, .414 on base, .518 slugging against lefties, nearly an even strikeout to walk ratio against left-handed pitching. He does come in next year, team control next year, so it could cost a little bit more if the Nationals want to try to drive a hard bargain. He's not a rental, but it could create a platoon for next year. The Phillies keep saying Brandon March is going to become an everyday player one day. I don't see it. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, and every time they have an opportunity to let him be, they don't trust him to. So I'm not holding my breath that he's going to become that. The Marsh and Lane Thomas platoon could carry over into next year. He's number two on my list. Number three, a guy there's been some reporting the Phillies are not interested in. Maybe it's a fit thing. Maybe it's a clubhouse thing. But if we're looking for fits for this role, he fits. And that is Tommy Pham, Chicago White Sox. I mean, he could have been. The Phillies have had opportunities to get Tommy Pham. Last year's trade deadline, I thought Tommy Pham was a fit, and they didn't get him. Ultimately, he ends up on the Diamondbacks, and they beat the Phillies in the NLCS. He hits a home run off Aaron Nola at Citizens Bank Park. So Tommy Pham has come back to bite the Phillies before. It could happen again. He could end up down in Atlanta. We'll see. He's going to be on the move. He's on a wretched White Sox team. He's getting to play because they are wretched, and they just need a few major leaguers. And he is a major leaguer, and he's a productive one against lefties. 141 way to run created plus against lefties. You know he's going to be like Mr. Serious, laser focused. I think he gets a bad rap because that's his personality. He's been on some good teams, though. Again, he was in the World Series last year, and he plays an adequate outfield, including, you know, he could play center if you want him to, you know, here or there, but obviously better at a corner. He's bounced around. You know, he slapped Jock Peterson across the face, which I just still think is hilarious because of, I guess, a fantasy football league. He probably is a little bit different than the loose clubhouse they've got here. And I understand if Dave Dombrowski doesn't feel it's the best fit. But if they are stuck between a rock and a hard place with at 5:55 a week from now, you know, 5 minutes to go before the deadline, you could do worse than adding Tommy Pham as the platoon partner for Brandon Marsh. Our number four on the list is my favorite name, one I've brought up before, and one I think is a very viable option for the Philadelphia Phillies, and that would be Mark Canha. Detroit Tigers, you know, he's bounced around different places. He was an A, you know, for the bulk of his career. He was a Met. He was a Brewer. He's a Tiger now. Mark Canha is a good player, and the thing I like about him is he gives quality at-bats. He works the strike zone. He grinds. Things that the Phillies sometimes as a team get away from, he fits that bill. And I think the more grinders you have in the lineup in October, the quicker you get a starting pitcher out, get to the belly of a bullpen, or you could wear down a starting pitcher, the better off you'll be. And the Phillies have, you know, they have some grinders, obviously, with Schwarber and Harper and Stott. Those guys grind at bats. Adding another one in there, and I think Marsh against righties grinds at bats. Adding another one in there so you guarantee at least four guys every night in the postseason, regardless of the platoon situation with left, are going to grind an at-bat out. I think that's a major, major thing. And I think that really could help the Phillies. It's just like, you know, very little things make the difference in October. And if you tell me Mark Canha comes in here and works a 10-pitch at-bat in the 7 or 8 or 9 hole in the lineup one night, you know, against, let's say, Kershaw, I guess the Dodgers, Max Fried, or let's say it's Chris Sale. Okay, it's game one against the Braves. Braves win the wild card series. It's Phillies Braves for the third straight year. Chris Sale on the mound. And Mark Canha is hitting 7th, 8th, or 9th, you know, somewhere near the bottom of the order. And he works a 10-pitch at-bat, fouling pitches off, ultimately ends with a walk against Chris Sale, who rarely walks people to begin with. And it helps turn that lineup over. And Chris Sale's velocity goes down. And then, boom, next inning, Trey takes him out. Because his stuff is a little less crisp. That's the little stuff that in October makes a huge difference. He is a free agent to be. He's still playing the outfield left and right. He could slide in very easily to left here. Against lefties this year, .415 on base percentage and a .150 weighted runs created plus. He's on a Tigers team that's played a little better lately, but they're not going to be a buyer. I don't know if the Tigers are going to trade Tarik Skubal or not. There's a lot of buzz out there that they might, that the Orioles have the prospects to get that done, which would be, you know, obviously a kind of seismic shift in the American League landscape if the Orioles can line up that offense every night in the postseason and have Tarik Skubal and, you know, Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, that would be incredible if the Orioles could do that. We'll see if the Tigers sell to that point. I don't know if they will. My guess is they're going to hold on to Tarik Skubal and not deal him at this point, but whatever. They're obviously not going to be a buyer, and if they're willing to entertain the idea of Tarik Skubal, well, then they're going to obviously sell off some of the smaller veteran parts, and Mark Canha is kind of a placeholder probably anyway as they try to, you know, recalibrate who they could trust and who they can of their young players. Mark Canha comes across to me as a guy that would be dealt, can be dealt. He also has his experience at first base. If the Phillies have some injuries or want to rest Bryce down the stretch, or you know, let's just say in September they've got this division clinched and they want to give Bryce off against lefties in September, just, you know, kind of build in 6 or 7 off days for him just to keep him fully fresh for October. Now, you could play Canha at first and leave Bohm at third, not jockeying him back and forth. You could do that. So I like Mark Canha a lot. Available, rental, grinding at bats, well over 400 on base against lefties. I think he could really help this team and be that perfect platoon partner for Brandon Marsh. And I think you kind of add those two numbers together, what Marsh does, what his walks against righties, his ability to get on base. You add it to Canha, and we're talking about a left field situation that could really produce a lot for the Philadelphia Phillies. And the last guy on my list, we're going back to the Angels, another Angel, and that would be Taylor Ward. Taylor Ward is an interesting player because, you know, you look at some of the numbers, some of the expected numbers. I saw Eno Saris over at The Athletic right as the second half began, you know, did a study on players he thinks could have a better second half than first half, and Taylor Ward was in there, so maybe there's an extra gear to Taylor Ward and as more of an everyday player, which he's been for the Angels. But if you look at his numbers, the majority of the good is derived from what he's done against lefties. He's hitting 333 against lefties this year, a 152 weighted runs created play plus. He, though, has 2 more years of team control. He's a tricky one because he profiles right now as a platoon guy. He's not that good of a player to be, you know, right now in terms of, for a contender, a true starter every day based on his numbers. Now, maybe some teams see what Eno saw and they get him and think he's going to take off in the second half. But here's the thing about Taylor Ward that's kind of interesting. He profiles as the platoon guy, but with 2 years team control after this, he's going to cost more. He also would be, if you do think there's another gear there, he's also an interesting hedge on the center field situation, which, you know, there's some reporting out there the Phillies are after a center fielder and a platoon bat, that these are separate things, that they want a different center field, say Jake McCarthy from the Diamondbacks, to replace Rojas, and a platoon bat. Okay, maybe. But there's also a chance they can't do all that, that they just get a reliever and they get an outfielder. Well, you know, of all these guys, Taylor Ward's probably the best everyday player and with the most upside to play every day down the stretch. So, you know, we could go into October and against righties, let's say, you know, they just punt the experiment of Rojas and say, Marsh, you're back to center. Taylor Ward, you're in left. That becomes your center and left instead of just your strict platoon, that you kind of separate the platoon into two. It's like, you know, splitting the hand of blackjack. And they, one play center, one play right. So Ward could profile in that direction. But he also could be the platoon partner for Brandon Marsh. All right, so the 5 platoon bats, right-handed hitting platoon bats, all could play left field, some at a high level, some at versatility in center as well. That makes sense for the Phillies with a week to go before the trade deadline. Kevin Pillar, Los Angeles Angels. Lane Thomas, Washington Nationals. Tommy Pham, Chicago White Sox. Mark Canha, Detroit Tigers. And Taylor Ward of the Los Angeles Angels. And look, the Phillies and Angels under Dabrowski have done business. And in fact, a couple trades a couple years ago, one that actually got Brandon Marsh here to Philadelphia. So we know there's a working relationship between the front offices and the farm systems. I don't think a Phillies-Angels deal for an outfielder here before the deadline is out of the realm of possibility. I would think Pham is probably not going to happen. I really like Canha and think he is a really good fit. But the other guy that you kind of have to keep in mind here is Lane Thomas, because you could do a package deal with the Nationals or bring back one of their relief pitchers like a Finnegan, Kyle Finnegan back, and kind of do your one-stop shopping there. But clearly the Phillies need some help in the lineup. The Weston Wilson thing, the Pache thing, these don't seem like tenable long-term World Series winning solutions. They don't. They probably aren't. And I expect Dave Dombrowski over the next week to go and try to find the missing pieces to this roster. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. You guys have a great day, and we'll talk soon on WIP Daily.